We're going to welcome Pastor Jim up on the stage here. We're going to be doing a commissioning of our short-term team that's going off to First Nations on Nanaimo this next weekend. So we're going to welcome up our team members to come up on stage. Come on down. Don't be shy. These are, we got a group of 18 people. In our bulletin today, also, we're kind of last minute getting Samuel all checked out. So, Samuel Chow, we want you up here as well. So, please, everyone, come on up. And as well, we'd like our elders, pastors, those in leadership to be able to come up as well and to be able to lay hands on these individuals today. I mean, there's too many of them to lay hands on all of them. I think most of our leadership is up here too. So thank you all for all your contributions, really, for us here at Westwood. We've been so blessed with provisions for so many donations that we've received. We just want to thank you for blessing us with this opportunity to go. So, Pastor.
Basically, since Christ established the church, it has been the pattern of the church to commission people to go out and spread the gospel. And so that's basically what we're doing today. We're following in the traditions of the church and in commissioning these people. Just a charge for you, as the church would also do from Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And I have a question to you. Do you commit yourselves to serving faithfully on this trip in ways that bring honor and glory to God? Will you serve with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, treasuring your experience as opportunities to learn and to grow?
Yes.
Join with me as we pray for our team and as we commission them, elders and leaders, as much as possible, lay hands on people. Gracious God, we present our hopes for these specially commissioned this day. In every age, you have chosen servants to speak your word in unique and special and various ways. We thank you for these people whom you have called to serve you. Give them each special gifts to do their special work. Fill them with the Holy Spirit so they may handle all they confront, whether in the spiritual or earthly realms. Mm-hmm. And so that they may be faithful and joyful in their tasks. Give them unity as they proclaim the gospel in words, in actions, and in love. Help them to be a blessing as they reach out to the First Nations community, and a blessing and an encouragement to the Victory Church there as well. And then finally, Father, bring them safely home and let their experience further enrich us here at Westwood, so that we, too, may better serve you. Be with them, our Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Let's address our Heavenly Father in prayer just as we draw close to his word today. Lord, may your Holy Spirit instruct us again through the book of John as we continue our journey today. We pray that you would, as the living word, come and convict our souls, move us in direction closer to you. We commit ourselves to the hearing thereof of your word and the moving of your spirit amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as we again address the book of the Gospel of John, I'd have you turn in your bulletins here to the outline of the message. And the message is entitled, Cleansing the Temple, Cleansing the Temple. And we're looking at this second chapter involving Jesus not only in the cleansing of the temple, but first of all, the celebration of a wedding. And perhaps you've had the chance even this week to see Carmen and Tommy married yesterday, and largely our Cantonese congregation was in attendance, but maybe some of you were there as well. And it was a great chance to celebrate Jesus on the first occasion that he had in way of ministry. In the first miracle that he does is an involvement with a wedding of all things. And John records this for us in his gospel. And I just want to read a little bit of this from verse 1 down to verse 12 here in this passage. And then we'll be looking at the cleansing of the temple as well, really in a two-part fashion, because I believe that Jesus starts off as a cabinet maker. He was involved in carpentry, and herein he becomes a winemaker. And then in the cleansing of the temple, we see him as a zealot, all about the holiness and the blessing and the importance of the temple of God amongst us. So let's look at this passage here in John chapter 2, verse 1 and following. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also invited the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, and the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew, then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone who brings the choice wine first, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had a little too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. Herein is an identification John is using to say, this indeed is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's related that to us in the first chapter of John. John, through John the Baptist, said this about Jesus when he identified him and said, this is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And herein, the Apostle John now writes about this identification, this mark of the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, giving us proof perfect that this indeed is the Lamb of God. And so in identifying him, he relates to us this story of this celebration. I think it's significant here, too, that at this wedding feast, it's Jesus' mother who identifies the need. And isn't that what we love about mothers, is that they have a deep care for us, for our needs. She recognizes the needs and says to Jesus, there is a need. They've run out of wine. And in that day, the celebration would usually last about a week. And so it's recorded here in the scriptures that it was about the third day. And Jesus was at this wedding feast and the wine had run out. An embarrassment, loss of face for the host. And so Jesus' mother comes alongside him and says, "Jesus, they've run out of wine." She doesn't push him, doesn't say what to do about it. She just identifies the need. And that's so appropriate in way of motherhood, isn't it? That we need our mothers, those that come alongside of us and point out those needs in our lives. And so at this wedding feast, we see the significance of the water turned to wine in this miracle in identifying who Christ is, who Jesus is. Jesus it does far more than just help the host here save face from the embarrassment of running out. He gives a sign, John says, in the first this first section, and talking about in verse 11, what Jesus did here in Canaan of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. So what John is pointing out to us here is that there is a sign, there is a marker here for us to identify. Jesus is something far more than just a teacher. He was the one that could transform mere water into wine. This was not possible, of course, by any human means. It had to be a divine act, a miracle. And so we see in the scriptures that wine was a celebrative instrument. We've heard in the Psalms and also in Proverbs, Psalm 104 saying, "Wine that gladdens human hearts." And then in Proverbs 9:5, "Come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed." And this identifying wisdom, wisdom being such a blessing to all of humanity. Wine and joy is found in the world, providing us with celebrative material to give joy to our hearts. But more so is the Holy Spirit, as is identified in Ephesians 5:18, that says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Jesus turned the water to wine, changing the elements, as it were, from that which was plain to that which was very complicated, symbolizing, I believe, in fashion of older things becoming new, old life becoming new life, so identifying even with the marriage, two older people being able to produce a child. The storage of water in these jars is also significant, I believe, in way of what is transpired in way of the Jewish ceremony of cleansing and washing. This was an external washing, yet Jesus transforms this water into wine, which is not used externally, but used internally. So that which the Jews saw as an external use of these cleansing jars was Jesus' work of work that would be done with inside us, transforming us, renewing us, making us from old into new. And so in is this miracle hugely significant for us. This being the first of Jesus' miracles, I believe it's very significant that he comes in way of celebration with us, to a wedding feast of all things. To celebrate with the people there, saying how significant that social engagement was and the bringing together of two lives in relationship, in kinship with one another. Jesus is saying here how significant that is for us in our relationships with one another. He turns his life, I believe, in fashion of the first miracle and the last miracle being tied together here. In way of water becoming wine, Jesus takes the wine in the last miracle and makes it into his very own blood for us to be transformed, for our sins to be forgiven. And so in here we mark the Last Supper and the communion table that is before us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The first miracle and the last miracle held in tension in the fullness of God's revealed truth to us that indeed this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then we see the clearing of the temple recorded for us here in verse 13 and following. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting in the tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of the cords and drove out all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle and scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. The disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then responded to him, what sign can you show us to prove that your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, in all, taken 60 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it up in 3 days? But the temple he spoke of was his body. And he was raised from the dead. His disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. The significance of the clearing of the temple here is, first of all, in way of the wedding feast and celebration as Jesus comes to liberate, to free, to give joy. But also we see that he comes to cleanse, to make whole, to make pure those temple courts. In the day, it was required for all Jewish men to go and celebrate at least 3 times a year in Jerusalem at 3 different festivities. The first festival being that of Passover, that we find Jesus entering Jerusalem here, but also Pentecost and Tabernacles. These 3 feasts were required for every Jewish man. John is recording the significant events of Jesus' beginnings of his ministry. This view portraying for us in the temple courts more akin to a stockyard than to a place of worship. Herein, Jesus comes and he's greeted by the sounds of lowing cattle and bleating sheep and the changing of money in the temple courts. And that day, to get into the temple court, you have to take half a shekel, which was a requirement of law. And because people would come from all over the country to come to the temple, they would come with foreign currency. And so they had to use the currency of that day, which was the shekel in the Jewish court, and so had to change money in that court. And so in there, the people that were exchanging money would cost these people a levy or a tax to change up their money. And so there was a cost involved, maybe even an exorbitant cost. And this way, in way of the Gospel of Mark, requires or states that Jesus mentions that there is robbery that was happening in the courts. Not only that, people would have to bring their animal for their sacrifice into the temple. And largely, these people would take their animals into the court. But usually, the high priest that was there in charge would take a look at the animal, inspect the animal, and then refuse to offer this animal for some reason and say, no, it better that you buy one of our animals and offer one of these, because they have been inspected. They thoroughly pass all the inspection requirements, and so please buy one of these animals. And so again, more money would have to be exchanged for the purchase of these animals that fit the requirement of the high priests and those that were in authority in the temple. And so in this place, in this temple court, which was the Jewish temple at that time, but the outer court was meant for the Gentiles. And so in this Gentile court, there was all these animals and this changing of money. And Jesus comes into this temple court and he sees this condition of humanity that was not reaching out to the needs of the world and offering opportunity for people to come and worship God that was outside of the Jewish tradition, mainly the Gentiles. A Gentile would come into the court and all he would see would be all these animals and all these tables and all this money. How could you worship in a place like that? it really showed the heart of the Jewish people was not to win the Gentiles, not to be concerned about the Gentiles. They probably didn't give much thought or concern for the fact that the Gentiles couldn't come in to this court, this outer court, and even worship God. And so herein Jesus enters. And he sees this rabble that's happening, all the things that are going on and the changing of money. And he says, this place has become a market. And he starts to drive out all the animals and overturns the tables, and all the coins go scattering around the temple courtyard. He makes and fashions for himself a whip, and in so doing, snapping the air and putting fear in people to drive them out of these courts. He cleanses the temple. In this cleansing act, Jesus is telling us the importance of what his house of worship should be, a house directed towards God and the praise of God and the prayer toward God. And yet people were making it more of a marketplace, more of a place for the exchange of currency. We see in this also that the Gentiles were called to be within God's house. There was to be a place for them. It was a call for all nations to come to God. The Jewish people had seen and made it a monotonous routine in way of their worship and didn't concern themselves with reaching out with the needs of the gospel, with the needs of claiming the goodness of God upon people's hearts and lives. Verse 17 says, his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal of your house will consume me. Zeal for my house will consume me. The authorities asked for a sign to prove not that what he was doing right. They didn't question the fact that there was wrong things happening, but they questioned that Jesus had the authority to do that. Actually, they should have been the ones to drive out all those animals and overturn the tables. But actually, these were the same ones that were benefiting from all that exchange of money and all that was happening in those courts. So, of course, in benefiting so much, they didn't want to get rid of anything that they would be benefiting from. The sign is found in the very act of the cleansing that Jesus does here. In Malachi, it says in chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit at a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offering in righteousness. It's interesting that the authorities didn't question Jesus in way of what he was doing, but rather, did he have the authority to do these things? They wanted a sign, but Jesus herein refuses to give them a sign other than the sign of his death and his resurrection. Of course, they confuse it and think he's talking about destroying this whole temple. He wasn't talking about the temple that he was in. He was talking about his physical body. So when he says, this is the sign that I will give to you, I will again take up this body after you have destroyed it. And after taking it up, you will know that indeed I am the Son of God. It shows his glory. Jesus not only came from God, but indeed was God's Son. Later, he came and speaks on behalf of the temple courts and says to us in Revelation 21, 22 to 23, now I saw a temple in the city because the Lord God, all-powerful, is its temple and the Lamb. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it because the glory of God lights it up, and its lamp is the Lamb. Indeed, the Lamb has come into his own in the temple courts here on earth. But yet, finally, in the book of Revelation, he is the Lamb that will be the light of all nations, of all people, and we will be able to worship him there. The church is also talked about as a temple in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. So then you are no longer foreigners and non-citizens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, because you have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as a cornerstone. The changing of water to wine, the cleansing of the temple, give us broad overview of the person and character and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to bring us joy, celebration, and the wedding. But he also comes to clean house in our lives, to get rid of that which is not of God. He was holy and a righteous judge, and will indeed punish his enemies and correct the evils of mankind. Romans 11, 22 says, "Notice therefore the kindness and the harshness of God, harshness towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness towards you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." Have you considered the harshness of God? I know often we speak of the kindness of God, but herein, in the cleansing of the temple, is the harshness of God in dealing with sin. I urge you to believe in him as the Lord, as the one that stands supreme in our lives and in this world, as we come to his table to celebrate his changing of the wine into his blood for the remissions of sin, for our salvation. I call those who are going to serve to come forward at this time, and let us pray in way of receiving of the communion elements today. Lord Jesus, thank you for your reminder to us that you come in kindness, but also in harshness towards us. We pray today, Lord, that you will be judged righteous for what you do in cleansing even this body, these temple courts within us. Oh Lord, drive out those animals, those things that are within us that are not pleasing to you, those things that are of the world and way of just marketing ourselves. Lord, we want to be about you. We want to be about praising you and worshiping you with all of our lives. We indeed are new, made new by you. We are a new temple, a new court for your praise and for your glory. We pray today that as we take of these elements, that we would be reminded of these things and encouraged to live for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we take of these elements today, we remind you that these elements are given of the Lord so that we can draw close to him in dealing with those things that are not pleasing in his sight. Our sin, our need for him, is ever testified in taking of these elements. So we ask you to not refrain because of sin, but rather to deal with sin before your God today as you take these elements, to remind yourself that Jesus' body was indeed broken and his blood was indeed shed on behalf of you and the need for your cleansing today. If you believe in the Lord, we welcome you to participate. If you have not yet believed that Jesus indeed has died for your sins, please kindly refrain and look to that occasion when indeed you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. At this point, we serve the communion. Please take time to reflect on that which you receive, and then hold on to the elements till all have received and we'll be partaking together. together. Jesus on that night broke the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Let's partake together." Thank you, Jesus, for this reminder of your broken body for us, given for us, that we would be redeemed, that we would be bought back with a price that is greater than silver and gold, that is the very body of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Let's stand together again. Jesus on the night took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take you all of it. Let's partake together." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great sacrifice on our behalf, that we could be redeemed, that we could be cleansed. We'll praise you throughout eternity for your great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'd ask you to just pass your cups to the inside aisles, and we'll collect those up for you, from you. Let's stand together and receive of the benediction from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Hope you have your bulletin in hand again. Just to remind you of a few brief announcements this morning. Just want to encourage you, if you're new to Westwood Alliance Church, that you join us over in our coffee room to my left here, to your right. It's called Connections Room, and it's meant for a reason to connect with different people. And so we'd love to get to know you a little better. So please do join us for coffee this morning. Also, you'll note that we have a number of classes that happen. Today we have our Women of Grace starting a new class, and Velma will be teaching that. And so, no, next week. Thank you, Christina. Next week. Join next week to hear Velma. This week, I'll be having my class upstairs, and so you can join me if you'd like to have something in way of the foundations of the Christian life. We're about 14 classes in to our foundations class. Also today, we have our Mother's High Tea that's happening at 3 o'clock today. So if you haven't bought tickets, I'm sorry, but we're completely sold out. That's a great blessing because all that monies are going towards helping our First Nation ministry. I want to make you aware that people have donated so generously to our First Nations ministry, giving all kinds of soap and towels and all kinds of things to make our door knocking ministry something that will be a great opportunity. The monies that we're collecting now for the high tea will go towards building a ramp. We understand that the ramp entering the Victory Church there has kind of gotten rotten over the years, and so we're going to be going there and rebuilding that. And so thank you so much for those that have donated and also for those that have helped out with making this ministry possible this next weekend. Also, our baby bottle operation thing is happening this Sunday. Collect up a baby bottle. There'll be some outside in the foyer there for collecting some loose change for our agency here in the city of Coquitlam that offers counseling and help to pregnant mothers who have no recourse in way of should they keep the baby or not keep the baby, giving them some counseling and way of encouragement to the resources and things that they can access as a mother to help provide for a child that has maybe difficulty in this world that they're beginning to enter. So if you want to contribute in that way, please do grab a baby bottle after the service. Also, we want to remind you that our healing service is coming up at the end of the month, May 28th. So we're looking forward to an opportunity for praying for one another, for anointing, and asking God's help and blessing each other in way of healing. Jesus did indeed come as one that heals. So we desire to speak to him and pray to him in way of that. All the names are there enlisted for you in way of First Nations. Do keep this a reminder for next weekend to pray for those that aren't going to be here, are going to be over in Nanaimo. There's one name missing, that's Samuel Tiao. So please scribble his name down there. And do remember to pray for Sam as well. Also, there's an announcement here in way of a kidney donation. If you have a spare kidney, and you probably do, you might want to think about contributing your kidney to a brother in our midst that is needing of a kidney. So we want to offer you opportunity to minister in every way. And we minister to each other physically, spiritually, and we can do that through our medical needs amongst us as well. So please do pray about that and consider it. And may you go into this week offering praise and prayer for each other and for God's glory to come through you to those that you're in contact with through family, friends, job, education, whatever you're involved with, that you might be salt and light. Please bow in prayer and then be dismissed. Thank you for joining us here at Westwood.